You're listening to the Bears Brothers podcast and postgame show, the place where Bears fans across the globe hang out online after every Bears game. Now get ready, because it's time to bear down. What's going on, Bears fans? I swear, we were just right here, legitimately like 10 minutes ago, wrapping up our discussion on James Daniels, and I was deep into work trying to get that podcast already published, and the Bears traded up like we thought, man, it may have happened. Well, it did, and the pick is already in, so we're a little behind here. Had to reset some things up, but I'm going to let you know who the pick is. The Bears are trading wide receiver Anthony Miller from Memphis, someone who I know our writer Steve Letizia was very high on as well, but guys, this is legitimately analyzing on the fly. I was not anticipating to be back live on air, and here we are. Wide receiver, second round. Obviously, they're still trying to fill the hole for Cameron Meredith. Not an edge rusher, though, but Nick, I want to go to you. Thoughts, Anthony Miller, let's go.
Yeah, this is a guy I think is capable of running every route in the route tree, can definitely get open, was very productive at Memphis. So, I mean, it was obviously a pick that needed a position that needed to be addressed, with, especially with Cameron Meredith not being there. Can't really rely on Kevin White to be a focal point. But now, yeah, this is on the fly. We are doing this. I was actually just tweeting about James Daniels. I didn't even get the tweet out because we're looking at the TV. The pick is in, and that's the Chicago Bears. But, yeah, this is exciting. Anthony Miller is going to be a Chicago Bear.
Anthony Miller, wide receiver out of Memphis. I'm trying to pull up his measurables right now. He is 5'11", 201. He was a senior this past year. If you want to know, his hands were 10 5/8 inches, if that matters to you, but that's legitimately what I have right now in front of me. I'm working on it. But Brandon, wide receiver right now, how do you feel?
I feel pretty good. I mean, this is another need that was filled. Oh, and they got Charles Tillman up there, I think, that's about ready to announce the pick. So that's pretty cool. This was a need that I think the Bears definitely need to fill. Like you said, after the Cam Meredith left, they signed Benny Fowler, but that's not really a guy that you can, I think, rely on long-term. Anthony Miller is a guy who's really been climbing up draft boards lately here, obviously up into round two, because I didn't think he'd make it into round two, but here he is climbing up draft boards, and apparently this was a guy that the Bears really liked.
I mean, of course they must have really liked him. I just saw,
obviously,
at least according to the rap sheet last night, the Bears were trying to trade up to get Calvin Ridley, so apparently they're still being highly aggressive attacking this wide receiver position. So here we go. We have Taylor Gabriel, Allen Robinson, and now you're looking at Anthony Miller. Anthony is his first name, I believe. I'm trying to figure this out as we go. But so seriously, I'm very excited about this pick. I'm going to look a little bit more into what his strengths, his weaknesses are. I read a little bit up on him. I know he's a good fit. He's fast. He can play. He's a good route runner, like Nick, you mentioned early on. But Nick, I'm going to just take it over.
Yeah. So I looked up his pro day to see, because on NFL.com, they don't have what he ran at the 40 and all those measurables. At his pro day, he recorded a 39-inch vertical and a 40-yard dash time between a 4.46 and a 4.52. Obviously, you know, good times for definitely a wide receiver. And just watching these highlights, this guy can make some incredible catches. There was a ball that was literally maybe 2 inches off the ground, and he caught it with one hand, right hand. Also just watching the TV there, I think he has all the records at Memphis right now for receiving stats. So it's a guy that can get open, had some good measurables at his pro day, very athletic. And again, if he's, like I say, he's a good route runner, should fit perfectly in Matt Nagy's offense. Will give Mitch Trubisky another weapon to throw to. So that's interesting, though, that they wanted to move up to get Calvin Ridley. So they definitely were looking to address that position and felt comfortable with Cameron Meredith leaving. But now they get Anthony Miller, which is a pretty good asset to this team.
Yeah, he really is. And when I'm looking real quick at his PFF scouting report, something that immediately kind of stand out, he ranked fifth in the nation with 3.47 yards per route run, sixth in the nation with 12 receptions of 20 plus yards last year. And on top of that, they say here he has the speed to run by defenders when given the free release. So this is yet another deep threat option here for the Bears in this new look offense, and just a highly productive player. In his last 2 years combined, he had 32 touchdowns. So put that in perspective. He is a point monster. Brandon, over to you. What do you got?
Yeah, not just to add to the touchdowns, but the receiving yards. He had 1,400 more than 1,400 yards receiving the last two seasons as well. And he had 95 receptions in 2016 and 96 receptions in 2017. So when you say production monster, that tells me that he was a big part of this Memphis offense. It tells me the defense really is, defense has really had to know about it. And the fact that he can still go out there and beat them, that's a credit to coaching, but that's also a credit to him. Because like Nick said, watching the TV, watching some of his highlights, he's getting some of those 50-50 balls, which is great to see. Because that's a guy that or that's something that's needed, obviously, with every receiver, is to be able to go and get the ball and do it aggressively. So I think Anthony Miller here is a wise choice that we could fit in the slot somewhere.
And Brandon, sure. To add to your point about those 50-50 balls, Anthony Miller, according to Pro Football Fantasy Football, Anthony Miller was tied for the nation lead with six touchdown catches in contested situations last season. So to just reinforce your point about him being able to go get that jump ball, well, he was tied in the nation for that. And it shows in his film. So, I mean, obviously this is raw. We're diagnosing this on the fly, and we're trying to figure out who exactly this Anthony Miller is, but a guy very productive. He posted back-to-back 1,400-yard seasons. That's incredible. In terms of defenses having a game plan for him, clearly they couldn't do that even with tape on him. So that's impressive in itself.
Yeah, and just, go ahead. You go ahead.
I'm saying just to keep adding to the 50-50 balls going up for him. That's one of his strengths, his body adjustment, ball tracking. Just to be able to, the ability to go find it and be able to work past the defender. So obviously, I think he's going to win those chances on the 50-50s.
And just to say what the Bears gave up to get him, Dan Durkin said that they gave up a fourth this year and second next year to move up to get Anthony Miller. Does that change your aspect on moving up to go get him? No.
Nope, not at all. No. I said it right, 20 minutes ago on the other podcast that Pace has the capital to go ahead and trade up. And if there's another guy that he can trade up and get and that he is convinced is the next piece on either offense or defense, to go ahead and do it. And I think he did. This is now the third piece in a row where I think he's an instant plug-and-play player when you're looking at Anthony Miller. Of course, the Bears aren't going to have with him, Taylor Gabriel and Allen Robinson. They now have three very quality wide receivers that they can use all over the field. And I just saw from Dan Durkin as well that Memphis, they had a very RPO heavy offense. And that's kind of where Miller showed his, and I'm quoting Dan Durkin here, I don't want to take his words without crediting him, but he said Miller showed excellent open field vision and suddenness to take the short throws and turn them into explosive plays, which is absolutely correct here. When I'm looking at the PFF scouting report, throughout his 3 years in college, he had almost 1,700 yards after the catch. That is insane. He had 700 alone last year, 538 in 2016, and about 400 in 2015. So again, he's a guy who can not only take the deep balls, but he's someone who can take those short underneath routes and turn them into big games. So while you guys are kind of figuring out who Anthony Miller is, I found the report that we have on our website for Anthony Miller from our Steve Letizia, who I trust Steve with any of his analysis. He's someone who he's worked for PFF all of last year, watching hundreds of hours of college games. And when I'm looking here, I'm just going to read verbatim what he put. It was only a couple paragraphs, and I think it's things that we should definitely mention here on the show. So this is what we had from Steve Letizia in one of his mock drafts that published just a couple weeks ago. Of course, he mentioned he wasn't expecting drafting receiver this high, but then the whole Cameron Meredith situation kind of changed that. He said that Miller was super productive in college with all the stats that Brendan already mentioned. And if he had a better quarterback throwing the ball, he would have even been better. And again, with Trey Burton. Oh, don't even forget about Trey Burton. Oh, gosh, I'm getting excited. But no, it kind of feels like, he said it feels like a luxury pick. Again, this is in a mock draft. This isn't right now. But right now, it's just a season where we're getting pass catcher after pass catcher after pass catcher. And after last season where we had zero, this feels great. It really does. But this is what gets me excited. Steve said, Miller fits Nagy's scheme to a T. He's an incredible route runner. He's more physical than you expect for a guy his size. He's an ideal slot receiver who can work underneath routes, but also run past you when you're least expecting it. While he will be at his best from the slot, he should be able to line up outside from time to time as well. This pick would potentially give the Bears a top 10 receiving corps in the NFL, a far cry from where they were a year ago. Do you guys agree with that, Nick?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, this is a very exciting player. And I'm just learning. I'm reading some interesting articles. Once we get to that aspect of the show, just talking about his personal life, I can definitely share that with you guys. But yeah, this is an exciting pick, because now that you think about it, and you just mentioned Trey Burton, another guy that we won't forget about, but is another guy in the scheme of things for this Bears offense. Mitch Trubisky has a bunch of weapons now. This is exciting. It's not going to be, okay, one guy's covered up. Oh, let me go to Anthony Miller. Oh, wait, he's covered up. Trey Burton, Taylor Gabriel. That is exciting in itself to have another playmaking wide receiver that I, again, ran those RPOs at Memphis. That's a huge plus side to him being able to contribute early in this offense.
Mm-hmm. What about you, B? Do you have anything you can add real quick? I'm trying to catch up on a scouting report.
Yeah, just to really add to all the hype to the offense, this is something that I think is really, really going to boost your excitement level. I found a letter that he wrote to NFL GMs on theplayerstribune.com, and he's talking about how he thinks he's the best receiver in the draft because, and then he mentions his stats line and that he's able to produce. And he's able to produce because of his love of the game of football. It's just crazy. He didn't get a D1 scholarship at all. He walked on at Memphis and then was able to essentially dominate out there, obviously. And there's one game that he mentions against Ole Miss where he goes, it wasn't at that point that I knew, you know, I wasn't telling myself that I was that good. I could obviously see that I was that good. And obviously from that point, he's able to dominate. It's just his love and passion for football in this letter to NFL GMs on the Players Tribune just really gets me excited, because that's a guy that we want in this offense, is a guy who wants to go play football and wants to learn all the details of this offense, because that's what Matt Nagy's offense is very detailed. He stressed that multiple times. So I think that not just his athleticism. Well, he even says in here that he's not exactly the most athletic, but he's smart. He wants to play football, and that's exactly, I think, what Matt Nagy needs in this offense, is a guy who loves football so much he's going to pay attention to the details. And I think they got one of those guys in the classroom, and it's going to translate onto the field in Anthony Miller.
I've heard that there's multiple scouting reports out there that compare him to an Antonio Brown. And if that does not make your heart race just a little bit more with an Allen Robinson, a Trey Burton, a Taylor Gabriel, and a potential Antonio Brown type player, oh my gosh, this is exciting stuff. It's an exciting time to go ahead and be a Bears fan. And looking at the PFF scouting report, a couple stats I want to throw your way that I think will take that excitement level up just another notch. He led the nation with 288 yards on screen passes. So that's exciting, of course. And then one of my favorite words, and I haven't used it in a while, but it's nifty. And here they call him nifty after the catch. He forced 19 missed tackles on his 96 catches last season, and he forced an impressive 18 misses and only 47 catches in 2015. So he's a hard dude to take down. And when he has the ball in his hands, he's not going down. He's fighting for extra yards. Then I'm going to cheer for him just a little bit louder, because those are the type of football players that I like to see here in Chicago. Someone who's always fighting to go the extra mile. And I think Trubisky and company are going to enjoy that as well. Nick, I'm going to go over to you. What's going on, man?
Yeah, I'm just looking up some of his game stats. He had against UConn, the score was 70-31, just put into perspective what was going on in this game. But this Miller had 15 receptions for 224 yards, 14.9 average, a long of 40, and 4 touchdowns. And, I mean, that's one of his best games, obviously. Then against UCF, 14 receptions, 195 yards, 3 touchdowns. I mean, obviously, clearly Memphis can light it up. And, I mean, according to his stats, but that's insane. I mean, obviously, we talked about him being able to produce after the catch. I'm actually going to pull up these highlights right now, see if I can watch what he was able to do. But you see those numbers. Man, is that productive. Obviously, that would be insane if he could do that at the NFL level. Obviously, we'd love to see that. But just those numbers itself speak to the kind of player that he can be.
Yeah, and the one knock I've seen on him, which is something that, again, I mentioned it with Roquan Smith, I mentioned it with James Daniels, all of these weaknesses can definitely be corrected with coaching. And all these Bears players that they've picked so far, Smith, Daniels, and now Miller, their weaknesses are so small. It's exciting. They don't have any, this is a huge thing they need to work on in order to become a legitimate NFL player. It's in order for them to become a great NFL player, they must fix this. And that's what gets me excited. But the one thing is his inconsistency with catching the football. He did rank 128th in the nation with a 8% drop rate. I'm trying to find the exact stat here, but it was, yeah, there we go. He dropped 21 balls of his 212 catchable targets in the past 2 years, which, you know, again, 21 out of 212 doesn't seem like a lot, but it really is. And that's something where, of course, just go hit the jugs just a little bit harder, work with Mike Fury, and I'm sure things will be a-okay. I'm not really worried about that at all. What up,
B? Yeah, just to add to that, a lot of these reports that I'm reading about the drops, they're saying that, you know, when he adjusts his body to make some of these catches that you see in his highlight reel, it's not necessarily that he's a bad catcher. They're just concentration drops. So that's something that he's definitely just gonna have to work on. It's not even necessarily that he needs to work on just catching the ball. It's just keeping focus throughout the entirety of the play and taking it one step at a time, catching the ball, then making the move.
Right. Nick, find anything?
I'm still just kind of watching his highlights to see what kind of routes he's running, the preciseness of them, and just what he's able to do after a catch. And once he gets the ball in his hands, he's explosive, just making guys miss right now. So it's really interesting to watch. But it would be premature for me because I haven't watched enough of Anthony Miller to say Antonio Brown or in that comparison. But I could see some of the routes that he's running and how he's setting up guys. You could see that. Obviously, Antonio Brown, arguably the best wide receiver in the NFL, but I could see a little bit of him in his game right now, and that's exciting because if, you know, we get even half the player of Antonio Brown, you're getting a very good receiver.
Yeah, you really are. And I just saw here a few things. He was a walk-on who kind of had to work his way up. And we've talked about that in the past, how much I really like, and I know you guys do as well, those kind of players who – that's why he plays with a chip on his shoulder, because he's someone who he didn't get an offer coming out of high school. He went to Memphis and he still lit it up. He's someone who takes the most of his opportunities. And here in Chicago, I expect him to do the same. And I'm reading an article right now on DraftWire, and it says, meet Anthony Miller, the walk-on who rewrote the Memphis record books. That's the kind of player that I'm excited to have here in Chicago. I'm going to read a little bit more about it, but B, I want to hand it over to you.
Yeah, I'm scrolling through an SB Nation article right now that talks about him having the it factor. And I haven't quite got through all of it yet, but one thing that I listen to Colin Cowherd a lot, he says, you know, when guys just have that it factor, that's what separates the guys who are good and those who are going to be great. And if people are saying that he has that it factor and they're comparing him, you know, possibly to Antonio Brown, then I would say that he definitely has that it factor. And if, since he was a walk-on, has that chip on his shoulder, he's has that mentality of he is going to outwork everyone, has this great, strong passion for football. This really sounds like the kind of guy that I think that Ryan Pace definitely hits on as a guy to have in the locker room.
Mm-hmm. I'm reading here. I want to share a quote from him. I like this a lot. You know, they talk about, they ask him, like, what do you feel about scouts maybe saying you're a little undersized? He's like, you know, they can call me undersized if they want to, but I make plays at the end of the day. I think a lot of scouts may overlook that. Even when they look at guys coming out of high school, they may look at just their size and speed, but do they look at ability? Are they capable of making plays? There's a lot of guys my size who are very explosive and capable of making plays, big plays for their team. They get overlooked because they're about to get 3 inches off, you know, and I really don't like that. And I hope these scouts don't overlook me because of that, and maybe making a huge mistake. So for me, of course, he has that chip on his shoulder. He's someone who, reading here, he says he would prefer to play in the slot in the NFL. He thinks that's where he's best, a little bit more space. Someone, he says he has a two-way go, so someone who can definitely take advantage of just a little extra cushion that he would have playing in the slot. Nick, you've been watching the highlights. What do you got?
I mean, it's just impressive what he's able to do right now. And I guess this is against UConn, not the best football team. But there is a concern that I saw on NFL.com, and I just saw it in this game. After the catch, there is concerns about him securing the football. I guess trying to make that move, trying to get those extra yards, a little loose with that. Obviously, with the correct coaching, that can definitely be addressed. See, that's not with these weaknesses that we've seen for the players at the Bears of draft. They've been very small and not the biggest concerns for these guys. Like that can be coached up and fixed. Just, you know, tighter control. Just when you're running, just don't swing the ball out too much. I mean, obviously, that's not a huge concern for me, but I just want to point that out. That was one of his weaknesses, and I did see that in this game. But again, something that could be addressed, something that could be coached up. But still, he's able to run these routes precise on a dime, cutting on a dime. So I love route running. I love guys that are able to find the window in the defense, make a guy do a wheel turn, just make him look nasty going the opposite way. He definitely is capable of doing that.
All right.
I did find a weakness real quick that can't necessarily be fixed in coaching. And I don't know necessarily that it's a longstanding weakness, but he did not do much on-field stuff at the NFL Combine because he was recovering from a foot injury. So that's just something to keep in the back of your mind if that's something that lingers. But he was still able to run a 4.48 in the 40, and he had a 39-inch vertical at his pro day at Memphis.
Yeah, I heard he blew when I was scrolling through real fast. I saw that he blew his pro day out of the water, which is very exciting. I'm sure that foot, no big deal. There's no way you trade up for a guy and you're worried about his foot. I mean, we let right. Cameron Meredith walk because of a knee. They are not going to bring in another guy with an injury concern, at least one that should be
concerned. Big.
Yeah. So, guys, I found a fun stat here and I want to share. There's in Memphis, only two wide receivers have ever had a 1,000-yard single season in their entire school history. One of them is Anthony Miller, the new Chicago Bear. The other one, and this name's going to get you excited, Isaac Derrick Bruce.
Oh, Isaac Bruce. Yes. Ooh, yes. Another great route runner. I like it. I like it a lot.
Yeah. And And so here at Memphis, Miller, he finished with records in career, single season, and single game records for catches, yard receiving, and touchdown reception. So he's someone who's legitimately, like I said, probably about 5 minutes ago, rewrote the Memphis record books. But he's someone who, he was the NCAA Consensus All-American 2017. He was the first non-specialist to win that honor at Memphis, by the way. He was named the first team All-America honoree by the AFCA and the Associated Press, and the second team honoree by the FWAA and Sports Illustrated. He was a finalist for a few awards as well. But guys, we're getting a guy who, in many instances, I saw could have snuck into the first round as well. So it's almost like the Bears have three picks now that could have been potential first-round players. But he was also, I want to mention here, he was the first player in history with over 3,000 career receiving yards in Memphis. And he had almost 3,600 at that. So, again, just blowing records out of the water here. And he didn't even have a great quarterback play to help him out. So just imagine what he can do with Trubisky. Imagine what he can do in the system that Coach Nagy's implementing that makes the most out of every opportunity and gets the most out of his players. It's really exciting to see this offense kind of come together since, you know, free agency began all the way to now. I think this piece, as much as we loved Cameron Meredith and we were upset to see him go, it feels like an upgrade, guys. It's starting to feel like an upgrade. And all right, and Pace, we trust. We talk about that, you know, all off and on all the time. But guys, how does he fit? We talked about Taylor Gabriel. We talked about Allen Robinson. We now have Anthony Miller. And we talked, and Nagy's talked about how no one's going to be primarily an outside guy. No one's going to be primarily an inside guy. But we have guys now who can play inside and out with all three of these receivers, which I think makes this question a little bit more difficult to answer. But Nick, I want to go to you. How does he fit in this offense right away?
Yeah, and he's a guy that is capable of playing on the inside and outside. I'm sorry, I just smirked over here because I saw him. He caught a ball and got up and just kind of gave it to one of the DBs, like, yeah, I just made that play, and he, like, squeezed by him for for a few extra, and he just mossed that guy. That was impressive. But Anthony Miller, again, this offense, a lot of guys can line up in a lot of different places along the field. So I can't tell you an exact way how Nagy is going to use all of them, but knowing that these guys can play in multiple positions only expands the creativity and the amount of options that Nagy will have moving forward. So it's going to be so much fun to watch. Maybe, again, Miller's going to line up left side on the outside. Next play in the slot on the right side. It's just versatility, moving around. Moving these pieces only is going to make the defense more confused. Oh, wait, he was just on this side. He was running this route. Now he's over here on the exact opposite, running a bubble screen or something. So I don't think anyone knows how Nagy's going to actually use these guys, because again, these are all versatile players that can play in multiple positions.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. That's what makes it so fun. I mean, it's fun to project. It's fun to think about it. But when we actually get to the nitty gritty, when we actually get down to training camp, we get to watch this offense live for the first time. Gosh, I'm going to be so tickled, because it's going to be like we're watching an actual real NFL offense. And not only that, but a cutting edge one, right? The spread coast, as we're trying to dub it here over at the Bears Brothers. But yeah, this seems like a very strong pick here. Again, this whole offseason, it circles around one man, Mitchell Trubisky. And it's happened the last two picks back-to-back. James Daniels protecting him. Anthony Miller, another fun, intriguing option for him to play with in the passing game. And don't forget, we have someone like Tariq Cohen, Jordan Howard as well. So this offense went from, okay, we talked about it in January when they hired Nagy, how it would be frivolous of us to say they can do the Rams, right? For go from worst all the way up to first. Not saying they're going to do that, but if they finish in the top five in scoring offense or in the top five in total offense with these playmakers, I'm sorry, but we should have saw it coming, because the playmakers that they're building around, especially with a healthy Allen Robinson, I don't even know how to put into words. I don't think I've ever had to here in Chicago, which is a sad thing, but also it's a very exciting moment. It's interesting. B, I want to go to you here. When you're looking at Anthony Miller, I want to know, there's anything that worries you, per se? We talked about the weaknesses, but there's something that worry you, or what are your thoughts here?
Ball security. But like Nick said, that's something that can be coached. But early on, especially with this offense, when we're still trying to figure out all the kinks in Nagy's offense, can't really be turning the ball over and helping the other team in that aspect. I think it's a very tough first four games of the schedule. And just being able to not help the other team is going to be very, very important. So the turnover thing, regardless of what position you play, is going to be a concern of mine. And that's something that he's going to have to work on and really make a high priority if he wants to get more snaps, especially early on. I don't think we have to worry about him getting a shortage of snaps. Just looking at his highlight reel, But he's going to really have to work on that, I think, if he wants to see more than what I think he's going to anticipate getting.
Sure. Again, we're going to spread the wealth here. I don't have much worry right. about that. So when I'm looking here too, what I like that he's very effective on all three levels, and he has the speed and the agility to kind of create some throwing lanes, some throwing windows for Trubisky. And how many times did we see it last year where his receivers had gave him nothing? He had zero room to even make a pass, but somehow he did it. He had super tight windows. I think this year it's going to, especially with the scheme, how they're going to scheme guys open. Trubisky's life is going to get so much easier with all these new playmakers and this offense. But Nick, I want to go to you in terms of Anthony Miller. What's the one thing that gets you excited about the most?
You know, I just saw him actually run, go in motion, run an end around. Again, talking about that versatility, this guy can do a lot of things on this offense. It's not just strictly a receiver. You could put him in motion where he's going to be able to get handoffs like he just did. And that's what really excites me about him. It's just that he's not a one-trick pony. Like he can line up inside, outside. Like I said, just go in motion and make diving catches like that. That is impressive.
I wish that's I was watching.
Like. I know. I wish I could show you guys. But yeah, this guy really has it all. And I mean, now I'm on to his second game watching it. And he's lined up on the outside, sets the post up perfectly, gets a DB on the outside, dives, and makes this catch. That gets me excited. And what I'm really like, I smirked earlier again because every time he gets up and the defender's over him, kind of just shoves him over. He has that chip on his shoulder again, not receiving any Division I scholarships to go and play. And I think that really just you could see that in his game. Every catch, he's gonna let you know it. Like I beat you on this route. I set you up perfectly, and I like that. I like a guy that has a little edge to him. You know, that little. Like, as you guys call me, a little diva status, but you know, I like that a lot about him. He just gets up and lets the defenders know I did better than you. Look at me make plays. I love that.
Yeah, no, it's very exciting. You know, he has some serious swag about him. And, you know, you talked about he has an edge to him. Well, we said we wanted to go edge next, but maybe he took it the wrong
that's
way.
That's what he meant.
But it's okay. I'm not going to complain with this pick whatsoever. But guys, again, we're still kind of analyzing on the fly. We weren't anticipating to go live this soon after the last show. It was legitimately like 5 minutes. It was insane. But I want to know, how does this affect the remaining drafts? We went linebacker. We went wide receiver. We have an offensive lineman. Has to be edge, defensive back.
At the end of the last show.
I know, but I'm just saying now there's nowhere. I don't think you go offense again.
We got to help the defense at this point.
The thing is, what would you okay? Right now, you got your guard or center. You got another wide receiver. What else needs to be addressed on this offense for the rest of the draft? We have our tight ends. You obviously have your quarterback. You have your offensive line set. I think the offense is set. Now this draft should turn strictly defense. Give Vic Fangio more weapons to work around, to work with. An edge rusher needs to be a priority moving forward. I mean, obviously, yes, Miller has the edge, but we need a guy who plays edge, a guy that can, you know, just provide depth for this defense. Obviously, now most likely picking in the fourth round, you're not looking at a guy who's going to be a day one starter. You're just going to look for a guy that hopefully is going to be mixed into, you know, defensive rotation, maybe a situational pass rusher that can rush on third downs or something like that. And maybe can be molded into a better player than that. And you never know. You get steals in the draft in the fourth round. Ryan Pace has done that, you know, for a majority of his career here in Chicago. But yeah, edge rusher, definitely defense in general just needs to be addressed now moving forward, because I think they have the pieces on offense, which is strange to say for the Chicago Bears. The Chicago Bears have their offense set. That is weird to say.
It is. And I'm not going to complain, but
it's also a good feeling when we still have picks to go in this draft.
Yeah, but we have 1/4 now.
Yeah, but I mean, use that on defense. I think they have to go defense at least twice, get some depth on the backside of the defense as well. They need a pass rusher, obviously, whether that's edge, whether that's defensive line. One of those two, that needs to be addressed in the fourth round. But I really think that it's going to be defense the next two, at least with some depth added to the back of the defense there.
Yeah, well, I mean, we'll see how it all plans out here, guys. So let's,
I got some personal life here. I'm sorry.
Perfect. I've been hoping that we can find some.
Yeah, I got some. So the first, reading an article here, and the first play, this is kind of funny. The first play of Anthony Miller's life in football, and he was 5 years old. He ended up running the wrong way. So, I mean, just to kind of put that out there, but also in this article, it talks about obviously him being a walk-on and not receiving those scholarships, but Here, I'm going to just read it verbatim. Here, the former walk-on from Christian Brothers is a consensus All-American. He's also a 2017 Memphis Sports Person of the Year. So that is, it's not saying as to what that exactly is, but I'm assuming that's his character just off the field as well. And I mean, obviously you need to have that character on the field, but he's got to be, you know, someone that's personable, someone who's just genuinely a good person. But that's great to see. And I mean, knowing that you ran the wrong way to start your football career and now are drafted in the NFL, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, it really is. It really is. That's cool. That's really that's neat. That's nifty. There we go. I can use my word. I had to find a nifty way to throw it out there. Nifty.
He All also right, has an arm tattoo. Or he has an arm sleeve in turn because he is so passionate about Memphis football, you know, just giving him that opportunity. And after the season wrapped up and before going into the draft, he really got it, I guess, touched up, or he finished the sleeve. And on it says the words Grind City inked across his bicep. But he calls the tattoos his Memphis sleeve. And again, he has this because he's so invested and just is so grateful for his time at Memphis. Obviously, giving him his opportunity to now play in the NFL. So that's awesome in itself. He's a guy. Where's the quote here? There's only one way to succeed at anything, and that is to give everything. I love that quote. That's a great quote to live by. And I'm glad that we have a guy who, you know, his standards are by that. So I know he's going to give everything to the Chicago Bears, just having them select him. So that's really cool.
All right. So just in case, let's save someone to scroll back just in case they missed a quote. What was it one more time?
So the quote is, and this is etched on the inside of his arm. It's, there's only one way to succeed at anything, and that is to give it everything.
Hey, that's kind of what we do here at the Bears Brothers, right?
Yeah, exactly. You know, we try to give our listeners everything. So.
I mean, whatever we do our best at it. We never, you know, go it halfway. It's all, and that's it, all the time. We are here. That's why we could dedicate this entire weekend to the draft. That's why you're here every week after every game. This is what we do here. This is what gets me excited to have a guy just like that. So I'm going to go to Brandon, and we're going to play my favorite game, which I just thought we played like an hour ago. Worst case, and I just flipped a coin, and it was heads. So who had heads?
Apparently I did if I'm going first.
Okay, you got worst case again.
Oh, okay. Worst case for Anthony Miller. He doesn't pick up on Matt Nagy's offense, and he just doesn't really fit here in Chicago, which would be really unfortunate because he's a guy that's got a strong passion for football and would be a great guy to continue to have in the locker room for the long term, from the sounds of it, and watching his highlight reel different someone that I want on the team for as long as we can keep him. But worst case scenario, if he just really struggles to pick up Matt Nagy's offense, I just don't see him really being in Chicago for all that long. And I think that's really the worst case because I don't think that I don't think there's very many durability questions. So I think it's really just come down whether or not can he pick up this offense in a meaningful time frame.
And can we just put the note out there that you saying that does not mean you believe that will happen. You're playing devil's advocate.
Correct.
You're saying the worst
case. That is the worst case scenario that happens for Anthony Miller.
Okay, we want to make sure because Nick got yelled at for Roquan Smith's worst case being an average
because I proclaimed him to be just an average player when we clearly stated what would be the worst case scenario. People just need to listen. Whatever.
So anyway, speaking of whatever, Nick, it's your turn. You get best case. You get the good part.
Yeah, I do get the good part. So obviously he was compared to Antonio Brown. And I'm trying to find where exactly, I think it was the fifth round he was drafted. Obviously we got not Anthony Miller, not in the fifth round, but you want to see this guy succeed. And I think in this offense, he will be able to, a guy that's able to route run and be to just get himself open, win those contested 50-50 balls. But best case, you know, this is the compliment to, you want to see this to be compliment to Allen Robinson. So, number two guy, and obviously with him maybe playing more in the slot, I would, it's tough to say because he's so versatile, but best case scenario, he just balls out and just kind of just takes over, not again necessarily the number one role because that's Allen Robinson, but again, a very good player for Mitch Trubisky to go to when Allen Robinson is covered up. So I don't know, maybe a Pro Bowl or two, maybe three. Yeah, I could keep going on, but I just don't want, I don't want to say anything premature. It's because I'm still watching his film. We're breaking this down on the fly, but obviously you want to see him succeed and do well in Chicago.
Exactly. But yeah, it's interesting. When we got Allen Robinson, like, all right, here's an outside guy who can play in. Then we got Taylor Gabriel. He's an inside guy who can play out. And now we have Anthony Miller, who is a kind of a hybrid mix of both. So again, they talk about all the different aspects of Coach Nagy's offense, and now he has three different players who can play pretty much all those different roles that he wants to put in there, even if it's the zebra, the fabled zebra that we're all excited to see here in Chicago. But no, it's going to make life very difficult. I would even say it's going to make life hell for the NFC North once all these guys get on the same page. There's a reason why the Packers went back-to-back defensive backs in this draft, and the Bears are like, you know what? We're going to get another receiver too. Good luck, guys. We're coming for you. But no, seriously, this pick overall, it's very exciting. It's perfect. It upgraded the Cameron Meredith hole that we were left. There was that void after he left. And on top of that, again, we were all very down. You can go back and listen to it. We were all very down when he left because we love Cameron Meredith, the person. We love him as the player. But right now, Anthony Miller really feels, especially with everything we're looking into, like an upgrade. And when that happens, your football team's getting better. And then again, the NFL's a business. The Chicago Bears are running a business, a team that's trying to go win Super Bowls. And sometimes you have to make those hard decisions, like letting the hometown guy who was undrafted work his way up to your number one, who got unfortunately injured. You have to let him go. But it's okay. He's playing with Drew Brees. Life's good for Cameron Meredith. He's okay as well. All right, guys, I think it's just time to grade the pick, and let's go ahead and bounce out of here. Again, Anthony Miller, I don't think there's anything more we can add to the table that haven't really discussed so far. We have some interesting guests coming on next week. Adam Johns is one of them, spoiler alert, to kind of talk about these picks just a little bit more. So get excited for that. But guys, while we're here, let's go ahead and grade it. So right now, I think we have not given them anything lower than an A, and I'm starting to feel like some homerism is taking place, but damn it, these picks feel like they are A-worthy picks, and I'm going to stick with it here. Anthony Miller, A-worthy pick, a wide receiver who was potentially going to go in the first round, someone who Pace must have had a high grade on. Yes, apparently they're trying to trade up for Calvin Ridley, but Anthony Miller, you know, was high on their board to go ahead and make such an aggressive move to come get him. Wide receiver as a whole, do we believe edge rusher was a bigger need right now? Yes. But at the same time, we're building this team for the long haul. And if you can get another young wide receiver on this roster to pair with your second-year quarterback in Mitchell Trubisky, on top of the plethora of moves they made this offseason to surround him with better, improved talent, you can't go wrong with it. There's just no way you can go wrong with it. You can't have too many good receivers. You can't have too many good anything. So it's okay. We're having a lot of good talent on this. We're stockpiling talent. And it's a great thing to have here in Chicago. It's better than having no talent at all. And guys, we went this whole episode and didn't even mention Kevin White. And again, expectations low. Hope, you can have hope for him too. We'll figure out how it all pans out. But just saying, there is still another former first round pick on this depth chart as well. Nick, I'm going to go to you. What's your grade?
Yeah, I know we've been given A's for all these prospects, and it just seems fitting to give Anthony Miller an A. Again, this is a guy that fills a hole at the position of wide receiver. Cameron Meredith being gone, very productive at Memphis, can get open, is versatile, can just fits what the Bears are doing on offense. So I think it wouldn't be right to give it anything lower than an A. He fits what the Bears want to do, and I think he's going to have success. You would hope he has success. Adds another weapon for Mitch Trubisky. Now the offense is complete. The offense is complete. You have your guard or center, whatever James Daniels is going to end up playing. You have your wide receiver. Your offense is now complete. Now it's just about learning the intricacies of Matt Nagy's system and just, perfecting it with constant practice. So Anthony Miller, I have to give it an A.
All right, A for Anthony Miller from Nick. And I just want to throw out there, he's talking to the Bears media right now, so we might stay on and share a few things as long as the Nuggets kind of keep flying here on my timeline. But he told that he plans to introduce the Bears to quote-unquote the Memphis grind, which goes to the grinding that you're talking about in his tattoos. And something else, too, that he said that the Bears and him, they didn't have much contact throughout this whole process. And he was kind of surprised that they traded up to get him, kind of like Trubisky in a way. It was very quiet, very secretive. So maybe the Bears didn't want to tip their hands a little bit of what receivers that they were going to kind of target here early in the draft. Miller also said that he's here to prove everybody that passed me up wrong. And I'm excited for that. That right there is the mark of just what kind of chip is on his shoulder. It's large, maybe even gigantic. And if that's the case, he's going to be a fun football player to watch. So Brandon, I'm going to hand it over to you while I'm kind of going to glance over here, see if any other quotes kind of come out. But what's your grade on this pick?
I want to throw a quote out there: that chip is large and in charge. no, but I was really wanting, because like you said, the start your grade, we're giving a lot of A's. And I was like, well, this is a perfect time to play devil's advocate like I like to do. But then you really sit back and think about it. This pick just solidified the offense. It fills the Cameron Meredith hole that we had. And like you said, we went a whole episode even talking about Kevin White because you said the expectations are low. And now that just really adds depth to that wide receiver position and all the weapons that Trubisky has. Anthony Miller's got a good highlight reel. He's got a lot of good strengths, very few weaknesses that I noticed that can't be fixed by coaching. So, you know, you got to give it like an A- at the very least. As much as I wanted to give it a B+, just to be the devil's advocate in this one, you can't give it anything lower than an A. I'll give it a B+. No, I'm giving it an A-. I mean, this just really solidifies the offense. I think the offense just got a lot scarier with this pick. Just so much depth, so many options to work with. I think this was a very good value pick.
Yeah. Okay. Let's think about these options real quick. Let's just kind of put some things together because we just mentioned Kevin White. Say he somehow, best case, and again, we're keeping all of our expectations for Kevin White. I want to make sure I preface this very low, very minimal, almost at a zero because that's all we have gotten from him. But what if he comes out 75% of what we ever thought? Okay. You had that, Allen Robinson, Taylor Gabriel, Trey Burton, of course, Anthony Miller, Tariq Cohen, Jordan Howard, Mitchell Trubisky, and Adam Shaheen, who can still, I mean, the options are legitimately piling upon each other. And it's, if somehow they all click, that is scary. And they're all under contract for a while besides Kevin White. So again, it's scary. It's something where I don't know how we went from in January having nothing to here we are in the very end of April, and somehow we have an offense that seems like it's going to be dangerous. And that, for Bears fans, should tell you everything you need to know about Ryan Pace, and especially the new head coach and Coach Nagy, and what kind of vision they have for the future of this franchise. So, guys, any final thoughts before we head off here, either on the draft as a whole, where we're going to go next, this offense, what anything? I'm going to hand it to Nick first. What do you got?
You know, this has been exciting. You know, we get arguably a first round talent, James Daniels first, you know, and then right after we're done with that show, we see the Bears trade up and we get Anthony Miller solidifying the offense. This was fun. Yeah, I think now, like we've said before, defense should be the focal point of this draft. Edge rusher definitely will be addressed. I'm curious as to which fourth round pick we gave up for that. Was it the 105 or the 115? I don't know if that's been, brought out into detail yet, but yeah, defense is definitely moving forward. And not football related, I'm gonna go see Avengers tonight. I'm super excited. This is gonna be a great night. It's a great night already.
Yeah, it's been a great couple of nights, but just real quick, we gave up the 105, just to let you know.
Okay. Yeah,
well, I mean, it's 10 picks.
We'll see what happens with that.
I mean, first round 10 picks is like a mile and a half. In the fourth round, it's like a couple centimeters. All right, so Brandon, over to you. Any final thoughts?
I freaking love draft weekend. This has been so much fun. And I'm hoping, too, that I can see Avengers tonight for what it's worth. So it's just going to be a very, very good, productive draft weekend here.
Yeah, it is. All right, so for me, guys, final thoughts. I'm just thinking about this, right? Anthony Miller, he comes to Chicago as a very versatile wide receiver, someone who can play inside, he can play out. He's competitive in all three levels. He can help Trubisky right there immediately in the flat, in the short games, maybe over the middle. Then you're looking at the intermediate and, of course, the deep routes. Nick mentioned it, I think, the very first words out of his mouth, that he can run the entire route tree, which, of course, should get you excited. But he's someone who he can make plays with the ball in his hands. He can make plays burning right past the defense. Don't forget how fast Taylor Gabriel is as well. Actually, I want to make sure I pull this up here because I totally forgot. I'm pretty sure I saw this. Yeah, he was the 110 meter hurdle champion in high school and also a runner up in the long jump. So this is another pace pick with the athleticism that he covets oh so much. And I mean, I can see why when you get players like this, but he's someone who should be able to step in right away. Even if, I mean, they're going to be playing in three wide receiver sets more times than not. So even if he's not a quote unquote starter, he's going to be on the field more than half of the games, no doubt about it. But he's someone who should contribute. He's someone who in Memphis, he rewrote all the record books. He's someone who is being compared to an Antonio Brown, someone who I see a Kendall Wright comparison. I'm trying to ignore that on purpose. But he's someone who should definitely come here to Chicago, show people what he said is the Memphis grind. He's a worker. He's a competitor. He's someone who's going to come here and prove that he wants to prove he's the best wide receiver in the entire draft class. And every single one of you listening better wish that he does exactly that, because if he does, he takes this already very good Bears offense that we've compiled throughout free agency And of course, with James Daniel just a couple hours ago, to a one that I'm going to start calling dangerous, especially with the potential. We'll see how it all comes together, but the potential is seriously dangerous right now with Anthony Miller. All right, guys, so that's going to do it for this episode of the Bears Brothers Podcast. Again, Anthony Miller is now a Chicago Bear. Don't forget to leave us a review over on Apple Podcasts or iTunes, whatever you want to call it. Only 24 reviews away from giving away a free Bears jersey of your choice. We're going to be back as soon as the Bears are on the clock again. That could be tonight. Nick might not be able to see the Avengers. We'll figure it out. But but until next time, Bear down, Chicago. Bear down!